The eating experience, as Rabbi Soloveitchik tells us, is indeed one realm in which Judaism's worldview is revealed. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 131, Winnie the Pooh and the Sanctification of Taste. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is perhaps one of the most brilliant passages in children's literature, and it appears in the writings of A.A. Milne, a striking psychological insight uttered by the beloved character Winnie the Pooh, who is asked what he enjoys most in existence. The obvious answer for anyone who has read Milne's works is honey. Winnie the Pooh loves honey. And that is his instinctive answer, but it is not the ultimate one. Here is the passage. What do you like doing best in the world, Pooh? Well, said Pooh, what I like best. And then he had to stop and think, because although eating honey was a very good thing to do, there was a moment just before you began to eat it, which was better than when you were, but he didn't know what it was called. End quote. What is that moment? The answer is that engaging in anticipation is itself a form of pleasure and deepens the very experience of eating. Now, this is interesting on its own, but it is even more fascinating when we realize that a similar insight in a very different context has been given us almost 1,000 years ago by Rabbi Judah Halevi, the greatest Jewish poet of the period and author of the great theological work, the Kuzari. In that work, the rabbi is asked by the Khazar king about the fact that we say blessings prior to eating food in traditional Judaism. And he questions whether these constant obligations and the various complexity of their details impact the eating experience. To this, the rabbi responds readily that they do indeed impact the experience, but in a positive way. And the rabbi, after reflecting a bit about the nature of the pleasure of eating, says, preparing for a pleasure, experiencing it, and looking forward to it, double the feeling of enjoyment. This is the advantage of the blessings for him who is used to say them with attention and devotion. They produce in his soul a kind of pleasure and gratitude towards the giver. End quote. In other words, here too, the blessing enhances the experience of anticipating what one is about to eat. But for Kuzari, and here, the difference between Jewish theological and modern children's literature is profound. Here the Kuzari is emphasizing that part and parcel of the pleasure, indeed central to it, is sanctifying the experience by emphasizing our gratitude to God for the food that we have. In other words, as we explained yesterday, Judaism does not deny the pleasures of eating, but it insists that we sanctify them by making our experience of the Almighty central to the very endeavor. This allows us to consider, with renewed perspective, our mitzvah for the day, which is the obligations of the priests, the Kohanim, to eat of certain sacrifices that Israelites bring in the tabernacle and temple. Thus, when it comes to the Korban Chatat, the sin or purification offering, the one bringing the korban does not eat of it, but nor is it burnt entirely on the altar, as with the offering known as olah. Part is placed on the temple fire, but much is eaten by the priesthood. And indeed, this is one of their sacred obligations. The same can be said for the mincha, the grain offering, which an Israelite may choose to bring. A bit called kmitza is taken within the fist of the priest and ultimately given upon the altar. The rest is eaten in unleavened form by the Kohanim themselves. And this is critical, it is eaten in God's presence within the Almighty's holy home. And this reflects something elemental to Judaism, sacred eating, which is also revealed in the eating obligations that apply to Jews throughout the Torah. And, as Rabbi Soloveitchik adds, the physical pleasure involved is part and parcel of the experience. Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik writes, quote, the act of eating does not represent some mysterious symbolic form of worship. It is merely the ordinary eating that man enjoys and with which he satisfies his hunger. On the contrary, if one eats when he is not hungry, so that he is disgusted by the act of eating, it is doubtful whether he has fulfilled the associated commandment. The halakha obligates man to eat matzah with appetite, to eat the sacrificial meat roasted in the manner of royalty. An animal function can be raised to the level of original, perfected divine worship. Wine, the symbol of licentiousness and drunkenness, of the frenzied worship of Bacchus, is transformed into the cup over which blessings are recited, and the libations for the altar, upon which man chants songs of praise for his Creator. There is even a rule that one does not chant songs of praise for God except with wine, and sanctifies everything in the world with a divine holiness. End quote. A way of understanding this, as I mentioned in our previous episode, is that it is only when we unite the physical and spiritual aspects of our being that we are truly relating to God as the creatures He has called us to be. And it is through covenantal eating that worship in this way makes itself manifest. It is therefore not odd that almost a millennium ago, a poet in Spain was reflecting on how blessings recited in a culinary context actually sanctifies the experience of a meal and transforms the experience of it in a physical and spiritual way. The eating experience, as Rabbi Soloveitchik tells us, is indeed one realm in which Judaism's worldview is revealed. And if we bear the insight of A.A. Milne in mind and join it with the teachings of Kuzari, then our own meals can be truly endowed with sanctity. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.